How many of you have ever been up on the platform during a service looking out? Anybody? Raise your hand. For a service. I'm not talking about just, you know, doing nothing. Raise your hand again if you have. You see some interesting things. Brother and Sister Moore, congratulations, by the way. 50 years. It's very commendable. But you know, Brother and Sister Moore, you know, y'all stood up here and played and sang, and you know, and y'all go places. And but here at your home church, Pentecostal church at that, you know, it's interesting to see how many people have proved the Lord. And what I'm saying is, how many have proved the Lord by their worship? And you know, church, you know, when we were singing it, what came to mind, my mind was in this, in Malachi, where it talks about paying your tithes. A lot of people don't like to hear about that. But, you know, it talks about, prove me. It talks about it right there. And he says, prove me. And I've thought of that all through this service. That, you know, and I've thought about right along with this song. It is so sweet to trust in you. Why is it so sweet to trust in Jesus? Well, number one reason is because I have proven the Lord. I haven't found Him to be faithful. I haven't found Him to be so sweet because of Brother Jehal proving that He was that. Brother Cervantes, because he proved it. I mean, there's a lot of people that they've proved it, and there's a lot of people that are living off of somebody else's proof, but they haven't ever proved it for themselves. And it's time that, some of us realize, you know what? I can prove this thing to be true myself. I can prove that the Lord is for real. I can prove that He is sweet. And it's more than just being sweet. It can go on and on and on and on and on. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And then we're also going to look at Mark chapter 10. It's good to be home. Missed being here Christmas morning. We were in Iowa, and had the pleasure of going to church there and getting to see Brother James Snow. And I had the privilege of seeing my wife and our new nephew dedicated to the Lord that morning. And it's exciting to see what the Lord's doing in people's hearts and lives. And but I want to preach this evening about our theme that we're going into the youth retreat. And the theme is taken from this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And then again, we're going to look at Mark chapter 10 here in just a little bit. But our theme is sold out. Sold out. Now, I called Brother Mann, talked to him, or he called me. I don't know what. But we talked, and I told him what the theme was. I said, you know, I don't care if you go with the theme or not, but this is just, you know, the theme I've given it, and you preach what the Lord lays on your heart. But I really feel like the Lord laid this on my heart to preach on these lines tonight and from this verse to our young people. And just because I mentioned that I'm preaching to our young people, I don't mean to turn the switch off that I'm not talking to you, because I am talking to everybody here. And there's some people that may not be categorized as youth that can get some help from this message if you would like to. And the key word is, if you would like to. So just everybody hang in with us, and we're going to let the Lord help us tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, it says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our God's. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house once again. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit that's in this place. God, we thank you, Lord, for how you're moving in our hearts and lives. Lord, we thank you for these group of young people that's here tonight. Lord, we ask you to work in our hearts and lives, each and every person that's here. God, help us to receive what you have for us. Lord, help us to enter into these altars and let, Lord, your will be accomplished in our heart and life. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Jesus, in your name. Amen and amen. Praise God. I want to ask you just what, if I was to give you an opportunity or to call out up on you and ask you just what does it mean to be sold out? You know, what would be your thoughts? Well, the meaning of sold out is, would be, to put it in definition form or to give you an idea, is if you was to go to get some tickets to, you know, maybe you was going to go to the circus or, you know, go to some school activity and you have to have tickets to get inside the door, whatever it may be, but you have to have tickets. And, you get ready to go up there and, you know, the person in front of you moves and you walk up there to the ticket booth and, yeah, I need 3 tickets. Sorry, we're sold out. That means they don't have any tickets left. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, I think. But that's simply the definition of, being sold out. If you look it up in the dictionary, that's kind of the definition they're going to give you. Not having tickets available. They've been sold out. You know, I got to thinking about that, you know, if you get ready to go into a storm, whether it be a hurricane, you know, most people don't get prepared for tornadoes very much. But you know, a hurricane or, you know, an ice storm or a snowstorm, a blizzard or something, if there's warning, you wait till the last minute to go to the store and get what you need. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to be sold out. I mean, it's not really funny, but it kind of is. You walk into a grocery store, and you may not even be wanting, but you look down some of the shelves, the bread aisle, there's nothing left. I mean, the bad bread that nobody wants, I mean, that stuff's even gone. I mean, people just go in there and they get whatever they need, you know, and I mean, they just take it all. You go down under the freezer aisle and you'll find all the meat you need. A lot of times they don't get that stuff because they're afraid, maybe especially if there's a good chance that the electricity is going to go out, they ain't stocking up on meat. Because they're afraid, you know, they don't think, hey, I can stick it outside, it'll stay good. But, you know, they're worried about it being in their freezer and it not being plugged in and it working. But, you know, if you go to the grocery store in those times, you will see what it is for something to be sold out. You'll see that the store is sold out of maybe the item. Maybe during this time of the year, you went to the store to buy something maybe for your kids or your loved one, your spouse, and you go there and lo and behold, they're sold out. My wife and I did our Christmas shopping a little bit early and we had got Faith a thing and we had Christmas earlier because we knew we was going to be going to Iowa and everything. So we had our personal Christmas early and the thing we got Faith messed up. So we thought, well, we'll just take it back and get what we got Josiah. He got a blue thing and so we said they had a pink one. We'll just get hers. It was a little bit older for her, but we said, well, you know, she'll do okay. But the Loomis, they didn't have any more. I called around, I checked around, looked and looked and looked, and finally found a place 45 minutes away. Had to go into Michigan to get it. Put it in my GPS and it drove up there and we got there and I thought, well, this ain't the right name of the town. I said, it must be a suburb or, you know, or a suburb out there, but I said, it must be 2 towns close together. And so I wrote out and went and asked this guy, I can't remember where it was, but I asked Three Rivers, I think is what it was. I said, hey man, is this Three Rivers? He said, no, this ain't that. He mentioned wherever I was at. I thought, well man, great. You know, and they're holding it. So I said, well, I'm going to go in here. Well, I went in there and they had one left of what I was needing. But I could look all around during this season and there was a lot of things that was bare shelves because they were sold out. They didn't have anything left. Well, let me tell you, you can come to church and let me tell you, you're never going to come to the shelf and find that, well, the Lord ran out of healing. There's never going to be a sold out sign there for healing. There's never going to be a sold out sign, for being filled with the Holy Ghost or for deliverance or whatever, salvation, whatever it is that you may be looking for. You're never going to find a sign that says sold out because the Lord doesn't run short on what you need and I need. He has exactly what you need here tonight. And young people, as we're going into this youth retreat, you know, we need to be determined that we're going to get whatever we need from the Lord, whatever it costs. But what it's going to cost from you and I, and as a church, if we're going to get what we need from the Lord, we're going to have to be sold out. We are going to have to be sold out. Do you realize that if Jesus was to walk in here tonight and start walking around and say, you know, he's just be thinking, just rubbing his hands ready to pour out what you have need of, there's some people that he would have to pass by because, well, their shelves are too full because they've never sold out to let God have His way in their heart and life. I want to ask you, what does it mean to you to be sold out to the Lord? What does it mean to you personally to be sold out to the Lord? If we was to ask a few different people, we would get quite a few different answers. Some people, they like things their way. Have you ever met anybody that it has to be their way or it's the highway? There's some people that it has to be their idea. There's people that just really don't even care because they have no interest. But what does it mean to you personally to be sold out to the Lord? Now I know that there is a group of young people here tonight, and there's several that's not here that's going to be going to the youth retreat. But as Pastor has mentioned earlier, you've set aside time on your Christmas break. You've made a decision that I'm going to go to this youth retreet. Now I'm sure there's some. I mean, out of a youth group, there's always one, maybe two that's going because their friend's going, or they're going for this reason or that reason. Maybe not for the exact right reason. But even when a young person's going just because their friend's going, do you realize there's probably still a little bit there that they're hoping that God will do something in their life? They're hoping maybe they're not really praying, but they're really hoping and determined and just, you know, man, I hope I get some help. Well, young people, God sees that. And you know what? God's going to honor that, and He's going to work in your life as much as you are willing to allow Him to. As much as you are willing to allow Him to, He will come by and minister and move on your heart and life. But the question is, are you going to let God do His part and work in your heart and life? Are you willing to let God bring a life-changing experience into your heart and life? The question is, it's up to you. Are you tired of the same way life has been going? Are you tired of the way same things have been going? You know what? I mean, I get tired of sometimes the same old thing. I mean, I sometimes get tired of coming to church and it being church the same as normal. I get tired of it, and I'm ready for a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. You ever been there? I mean, I get tired of the pastor, and I get tired of having to go to the same old places to eat on Thursday. And you know, they start breaking ground on something, you know, you get excited, maybe it'll be a Chick-fil-A. Maybe it'll be this over here, maybe it'll be that. And no, you get another auto parts store. But you know what, I get tired sometimes of the same old thing. I get tired of the same old routine. I get tired of the same, say, Brother Armstrong, there's something you ought to do. That's right, there's something I got to do about it. I got to get sold out. I got to get past the things that's holding me back and realize for me that, you know what, if I want church to be different, if I want God to come by and start moving my life, if I want some changes, I'm going to have to do something about Matthew Armstrong. I can't worry about and say, well, you know what? Bethany's been off at college. That's why we haven't had a move of God. Candace has been off. You know, if they would just come back and bring something back from Neosho, or if this person was here at church, they've been gone, they've been sick. But no, it's what I want from God, and how bad do I want it, and what am I going to do to get help from God? There's a lot of people, they don't know what it really means to be sold out. They don't really know what it means to be sold out. I mean, young people, are you really sold out to the Lord? I want you to ask yourself that. Moms, dads, whoever you are here tonight, are you really sold out to the Lord? I mean, I want you to stop and really think about that. I mean, someone that's sold out to the Lord, I mean, God's going to be doing all kinds of things in their heart and life. God's going to be moving. It's going to be very evident. But look over in Mark chapter 10 with me. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. There's a lot of people, they think that they really are sold out to the Lord. And I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not saying that they're trying to be haughty, but there's people that think they got it all together. And then there's some people that they know they don't, and they want to know what they have to do to get it together. And that's what this here is. Mark chapter 10, this is somebody that realized that, hey, I'm not sold out. I don't have it all together, but they wanted to. Mark chapter 10, start reading in verse 17. It says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor father and mother. Now Jesus told him that he knew the commandments. I want you to realize that. And he went through some of them there. But he goes on, he says, the man answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. And that's a lot of us. Oh, Jesus, we've done this, we've done that. We look in the Word of God. Well, I'm doing this right, I'm doing that right, I'm doing that right. I must have it all together. I prayed once and I was saved. I was even baptized with the Holy Ghost. I even got baptized in water. I did this, I do that. I take communion. I'm faithful to church. But are you sold out? And he answered and said to the Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. Verse 22 says, and he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. There's a lot of people that they're hanging on to some things because, well, they think they're sold out. But if they was to really stop and examine themselves, they'd find themselves just like this man here, holding on to some great possessions. And young people, if you want to get something out of the youth retreat, if you want to get something out of this weekend and let God come by and move in your life and change you and transform your life to what He would have you to be, we need to examine some things. We need to look and see how sold out are we. Are we like this man here, this rich young ruler, this guy that had all these possessions and he seemed like he was doing everything right? I mean, can you imagine to get to heaven? Master, and I was talking about it just before church. The Bible says that there's going to be many that's on that day that's going to say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me. And they're going to say, well, I cast out demons. I did this. I did that. I did this. Depart from me. I didn't know thee. He said there's going to be many. I want you to think about that. Many that's going to be like that. And this man here, he was living what he thought was right as a whole. I mean, he was living by the commandments. He was doing things what seemed like it was good. He had kept things up from his youth. But one thing. That's what the Scripture says. One thing that thou lackest. Wouldn't it be something to stand before God on that day? And God said, depart from me. Well, what for, Lord? I went to church. See, here's the thing. That verse that talks about we cast out demons and we did all these things. You know what I'm talking about? Most of us, if we was to go right now, wouldn't even be able to stand before the Lord and say that we did all those type of things. So what are we going to tell the Lord if that was us? Well, Lord, I was faithful to church. I took my Bible to church. Well, I prayed. There's people that's going to miss it that's doing a whole lot more than what we are. It's something to think about. How sold out are we? Are we willing to sell out enough that we're going to be willing to just lay it all on the line and get our shelves clean and get everything out there and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, here's my life. I'm tired of running things my way. I'm tired of doing things my way. There's three people I want us to look at. Number one is Joseph. Joseph was sold out. He was totally sold out to God. I mean, I want you to think about Joseph. Think about what he went through. Think about the life experiences that he had. But yet he was still sold out and still chose to do what was right. I mean, he was sold out. It didn't matter what his own family said. It didn't even matter what they were willing to do to him or what they was going to say to him. He wasn't concerned about any of that. No matter what happened to him, he was still determined to do what was right. Joseph had every reason to quit as a young person, but he chose to keep the faith in spite of what others thought and did. You may be here tonight and say, Brother Armstrong, you don't even know what kind of a background I come from. You don't even know what I have to put up at my house. You don't even know what takes place. Why don't you come and live in my house? There's some of you, I would if I could. There's some of you, I'd take you out of your situations that you're in if I could. But the fact of the matter is, I can't. God has put you right there in that situation. And He's put me in my situation. But yet, nevertheless, He has still made a way for us to make it. He still provided a way that we can still be faithful and do what we need to do. Let me tell you, if I could, I would come and take some of you out. I would come and live in that place for you and let you come and live in my place. But there is no way of changing where life is right now. But we can change the way the outcome is going to be if we're willing to sell out to the Lord. Young people, Joseph's brothers, they didn't like him. He had a gift from God. He could interpret dreams. Anybody here be able to interpret dreams? You know, what would it be like, you know, if, you know, the Lord started using you in that area? What if, Tabby, we had to call you up and ask you, hey, let me explain this dream to you. I need you to interpret because God had was using you in that. I mean, we think about stuff like that and we hear about it. Well, that would never happen. That's because Joseph was some kind of superhero. No, Joseph was just an any old ordinary man just like you and I. But he got to a place where God could use him. He was yielded enough, sold out enough that he could be used. His brothers, they took Joseph and threw him into that pit, and later they sold him into slavery. They took his coat of many colors that his father had given him. You know, you remember, he's his father's favorite. I don't believe in having favorites. Josiah is my firstborn. He's not my favorite. I mean, none of my kids is any better than the other one. But there's parents even today. I've even seen them post things. Hey, this is my favorite kid. This is, you know, my best kid. And that's nonsense. Nonsense. But Joseph had a father that did that, showed favoritism. And it caused his other brothers not to like him. They didn't like him. They took him, sold him into slavery. He wound up in Potiphar's house, and you know, we know the story. Potiphar's wife came to him and wanted to lie with him, and he refused to take part of that, and she wound up lying on him, and he ended up getting thrown into jail. I mean, he had reason enough to quit. I mean, there's a lot of people that they've quit coming to church for less things than that. Joseph kept on interpreting dreams. He kept on being used of God. He kept on keeping on. Joseph goes to interpret the dream of Pharaoh and become leader over Pharaoh's house and all of Egypt. I'm telling you, young people, if you want to stay committed unto God, if you want to be sold out to God, God will take you and He can use you and do great things in your heart and life. There came a famine and Joseph's brothers came to Egypt looking for food. Joseph had the prime opportunity to get back at his brothers. But you know what? He didn't take that opportunity. No, they come and they come back a second time, and finally he let them know who he was and let him know, and not in a bad way. But he kept on loving them and he provided for them. Why did he do those things? Why was he able to respond in the right way? That's something to think about. How you treating your family? Look how Joseph's family treated him. They weren't even Christians. I mean, there's some Christians that treat their family worse than what old Joseph's family treated him. But Joseph, you know what? He was sold out, young people. He was sold out and he remained faithful unto God. Are you sold out? What about old Daniel? Yeah, Daniel, he was sold out too. You may be thinking, yeah, Daniel, but he probably had some good parents that taught him right from the very start. If I would have had parents like that, you know, I could have lived for God. Why can't you live for God without godly parents? Maybe your parents come to church, but they're not what they really ought to be. You can still live for God. You can still make heaven your home if you're sold out. I said, if you're sold out. Well, maybe, you know, and the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Daniel's family. I don't see anything there that gives away that saying that Daniel for sure had family that raised him and taught him exactly right. But we do know that Daniel was apparently taught right to some degree, because when he was just a young person, he refused to take part in eating the king's meat. He heard the truth somewhere, and he wasn't willing to partake of the king's meat. Daniel would not eat the king's meat because it was unclean, it was unfit to eat. You know, I was doing a little looking on what was wrong with Daniel, the king's meat there. And you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, what's this? It's going to be something like this. But, you know, there's people that well, you know, I don't see that the Bible says that. I don't see that the Bible says that we have to live this way, act that way, dress that way, talk that way, abstain from this or that. Go look and see why Daniel didn't partake of the king's meat. And then question about why we have to do what we have to do, or just go check it out. Daniel wasn't willing because he knew what was right. Daniel was found praying, making supplication. He was praying when there was a law passed. And they found him that he went ahead and went against what the law was. And he kept on praying. Have you ever heard the term, anybody say it's, let me think about this, make sure I get it right. I didn't write this down. It's easier to ask for forgiveness. Or something. How does that go? Yeah, easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. How many has ever heard that? I mean, I can remember as a young person hearing my best friend's mom say that. I thought, well, that's real good teaching. They were saved. Went to church. That's the way a lot of people live. Well, I guess I'll stand here and listen to this filthy joke. You know, everybody, you know, no one really knows I'm a Christian, so I won't leave. If I leave, they might know. Then they listen to that trash, or, you know, they'll watch something instead of getting up and leaving the room. Versus sticking up and saying, hey, if you want to watch something else, that's okay, but I ain't watching this. I understand. It's hard to stand up. It's hard to stand for what's right. It's hard to do what's right sometimes because we're afraid what people's going to say. But Daniel, you realize if Daniel would have just, all that was for was just 30 days for a month. For a month. How many of you would have let it slide for a month because God would understand? Think about it. How many of you have let down a standard or done this, and maybe it wasn't even 30 days, maybe it was just overnight, maybe it was just for a week, maybe it was just for the weekend because you didn't want someone, your relative or your family or your friends, to think you as goody two-shoes or whatever. I'm talking about being sold out. Daniel only had to let it slide for 30 days. Why couldn't he just abide by the law? I mean, the Bible does say obey the laws of the land, don't it? I mean, why couldn't he just let it slide for 30 days and then when it's all said and done, go back and say, Lord, well, you know, understand. Because God doesn't understand. And we all understand that that wouldn't work for Daniel. Well, it isn't going to work for you and I. And young people, it isn't going to work for you and I. We have to get to a place where we're totally sold out to God 24 hours, 7 days a week, whether we're at school, whether we're at church. We need to be sold out unto the Lord. But what they didn't count on was the little problem. And that was Daniel was totally sold out. Not just totally sold out to just anybody, but to God. And God always takes care of His people. Daniel made it through probably one of the most hardest and most scariest things in his life that day. All because he was totally sold out to God. It doesn't really matter, young people, where you're from. It don't matter who your parents are. It don't matter your background. It don't even matter who you are. What matters is, are you willing to be sold out? It's amazing to me how we will go through life and we just, the same old routine, same old thing. But I want to ask you, how bad do you want help from the Lord in this youth retreat? Are you okay with just a little bit? Or do you want the Lord to really come by and move and transform your life? You see, here's the question that you have to think about. Is the God I'm talking about and the God you're serving the same God? Because my God can change and will change your situation. He will and can change you. But the problem is you're not sure about it anymore because you're not fully, totally surrendered unto the same God that I'm talking about. As I mentioned earlier, when I was talking about what's your definition of being sold out, we conjure up all these things, but if you're sold out, you're sold out 100% unto God. And that's when God moves on your life. The Bible says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. No wonder why you've been praying for months on end and nothing's been happening is because there's iniquity in our heart. And no wonder why nothing's happening is because God says He will not hear us. But yet we're thinking God isn't real. God doesn't care about me. God this, God that, I've tried, I've prayed, I've done this. Well, quit wasting your time. You're not sold out, so God's not going to answer your prayer, much less hear it. Say, Brother Armstrong, I'm telling you, you don't know what I have to face. You don't know what I have to go through. You don't know what I have to live with. Let me tell you what, I really don't know a lot of it. But I really don't care to a certain extent about what it is. Because God can change it. I mean, I care that I don't want you to hurt. I care that I don't want you to have to live in maybe what you're living in. But I want you to understand that God is bigger than all that trash. Besides that, I know that you can make it. There's people here, I'm going to call their name, and I want you to stand when I call your name. Brother Zach, just stand up. Brother Zach's made it. He didn't have a mom and dad bringing him to church. He had an old blue bus and a brother DeBoard going knocking on his door. Brother Daniel, stand up. Same thing. Just finished a semester of Bible school. You can make it if you want to. But I see something in both of these. Sister Candace. Here's another one that's made it. And because of Sister Candace, Sister Penny, stand up. My other person isn't here. These folks didn't know I was going to do this. But they've made it. And there's something here that I see, and it's not that they got picked up on a bus and brought to church. Yes, that's good and that's great and that's part of it. But there's something why they're still here today. And why they're not like all the rest of the kids that's come through these doors and they're not here today. And maybe there's others, but the problem is, the deal is he sold out. The deal is he sold out. She sold out. And she sold out. Thank y'all. They sold out to the Lord. Yasmin, you can make it. Kelsey and Kaylee, y'all can make it. I mean, Riley, you can make it. Ron, you can make it. There's living proof there. Bethany, stand up. Brianna, stand up. You ain't got to say anything. Sage, stand up for me. Another one just finished a semester of Bible school. Candace has finished two. Don't want to leave you out, Candace. Two years almost. But you know what? There's some others. And there's others. I didn't ask everybody to stand. But they're still here. They haven't gone out. Not because mom and daddy's here, but because she got a hold of it and sold out for herself. Sage, yeah, she's here because mom and daddy would obviously make her be here. But she gets in and worships God better than most of you adults do. Why? Because she's sold out. Brianna, she's here. Probably the same thing, it really matters, but she gets in. She worships God. She works back in the back. Why? Because she's sold out. Y'all can be seated. I'm not saying that these folks are perfect. I'm not saying that they don't have things to work on. I know they do, because I know I have things. None of us has arrived. None of us is perfect. But are we sold out? We can make it if we want to. Last person is Paul. Y'all remember old Paul? Paul was sold out. Now I know, Paul didn't start out as Paul. He started out as Saul. And old Saul, you know, he wasn't just, you know, the greatest Pentecostal preacher there ever was, because he wasn't always like that. I mean, in fact, he claimed, you know, what would be called as a Christian in our day and age. We would classify that even back then. He was that good Christian or that religious person back then, probably a better way to put it. But he didn't go around preaching the gospel all there at the beginning. He went around persecuting people, killing people that claimed to really be followers of Christ. He didn't believe it, didn't think they was right, and he thought he was doing right himself. And he had been taught right. He had been brought up. He had been taught the law. He had been taught what he thought was, and part of what he taught or was brought up under was right to some degree. But he missed the boat somewhere along the way because the Christ came. And he didn't get on board. And he kept on persecuting. And do you realize that Saul, if he could have got his hands on Christ, that would have been just, you know, the greatest thing on earth. I mean, you know, these people that play football, you know, they want to go to the World Series. All of them, that's their main thing they want to do, is go to the Super Bowl. Or if they're baseball, they want to go to the World Series. They want to go to that final game. Well, if he could have had something like that, it would have been for him himself to catch Christ. And you better know for sure he would have killed him in a heartbeat. But you know what? He started out what he thought was good. He had been raised and taught in, to some degree, the right. But he didn't really ever sell out and get a hold of it. It was a ways away before he finally, on that road to Damascus, saw that light, and it got his attention and had a life-changing experience. Saul didn't have somebody else there to help him, didn't have somebody else leading and holding his hand and telling him what he needed to do. No, he had the power of God come down in his heart and life, and had a personal experience with Jesus Christ that changed his heart and life. And you can have that tonight, and you can have that all through this youth retreat if you're willing to sell out and let God do the work. Sister, if you come back. Sister Mann, I'm going to have Sister Mann come. I know too many young people. I mean, I know too many that have started off on the right foot, but somewhere along the way they missed it all. I mean, somewhere they totally missed it. I mean, they started out just like some of these. They've never known the things of the world. That's why I had these other ones stand up. They've never known anything else. That's the greatest testimony you could ever have. But I've known too many as I preached here a couple weeks ago about those 10 virgins, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise, those foolish ones and those wise ones, they both had it down pat about living a pure, sanctified, holy life, keeping themselves pure. But there was 5 of them, they missed the mark. They missed it totally on having a relationship with Christ. They missed it on how to have and get their oil, their lamps filled up with that oil. And there's a lot of young people today that they've never sold out. There's a lot of parents and adults that you haven't got to the place where you need to be, where you know how to go back and get fresh oil from the throne of God. But you can. It's obtainable. And during this youth retreat, God has something that you need. He has something more than just what you need. Do you realize? God, first of all, wants to move and come by Brother Loomis and give us what we have need of. But do you realize that God just doesn't want to stop there? He wants to come by and give you the desires of your heart. He wants to come by and give you the desires of your heart. And young people, He has something for you. There's been a lot of young people that's, as I said, started off right, but it didn't end the way they wanted it to. Some's fallen by the wayside. Some's gone and done their own thing because they never learned what it meant to be sold out to the Lord. Young people, it's time that we sell out totally 100% to God. Yes, we got to sell out everything. There's been young people that said, well, it'll never happen to me. I won't let it get that far. I've got it all under control. There's plenty of time. We'll mess with that stuff later. That's what they said. They never sold out. And today, they're totally sold out, but in the wrong way. Totally in the wrong way. I want to go into this youth retreat, young people, sold out to the Lord. I want to go and get all I can get this weekend from the Lord. Just me and the Lord. And I hope that's your desire. Grace, I hope you want to go there and just you and the Lord. I mean, yeah, I know there'll be other people, but we need to, it's just going to be me and the Lord this weekend. Yeah, when it's time to be playing games, we'll play games, but when it's time to get in and worship, it's just me and the Lord. I'm not worried about what happens. I'm not worried about who's beside me. I'm not worried about what everybody just dressed like. It's just me and the Lord. I've got to have some help. I've got to have some changes. I want us to stand. There's a lot of youth. There's a lot of youth, though, that they've never given in. Never given in because they've stayed sold out to the Lord. And you know, it's not just that they sold out one time, but it's been through things like youth retreats, youth camps. Revivals. All kinds of things that's kept them going. There's very few young people that make it when they ain't got a youth group. There's very few young people that make it when they don't go to youth camps and all these things that are designed. And I understand we shouldn't have to have all those things. But let me tell you what, we're not living back when grandma and grandpa was alive. So let's wake up and smell the coffee. I mean, Brother Lance, divorce wasn't rampant when you was a kid. Drugs and alcohol wasn't rampant like it is today when some of you was kids. There wasn't all the same peer pressures No, what we got is we've got a group of young people that are facing some of the same things that you faced, and then about three times as much stuff. Church, we need you. We need you to pray for us this weekend. Because without God, it's all in vain. Without God coming by and moving in our hearts and lives, we're just spinning our wheels. But tonight can be the starting point in your life. Whether you're a young person or not, this can be the time where you sell out to the Lord and let some things be passed away and let some new things come into your heart and life. If you're sold out, I want to ask you this real quick. These four or five questions. Are you willing to do whatever He might ask of you? Are you willing to hear what He might would say to you? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to say what He might would have you to say? Are you willing to just live for Him? Are you willing? And the list could go on and on. On and on. I want to ask you this real quick. This last question. What is it going to take for you to be sold out? What is it going to take for you to be sold out? Father, we ask you to come by, Lord, as we gather in these altars, Lord. God, we need to be sold out 100% unto you, Lord. God, I pray for these young people that are here tonight. God, that they'll sell out, Lord. That they'll tonight, Lord, before we even start this youth retreat, they'll come around these altars, Lord, and they'll clear everything off their plates, Lord. Out of their heart and life and say, Lord, I'm yours this weekend. Lord, I want you more than anything else in my life. I want more of you, Jesus. Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to press in. I'm going to seek your face each and every night around the altars, Lord. Oh, God, I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before. Lord, I need help with my attitude. I need help in school. I need help in whatever area of my life it may be, God. I need your help. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. Praise God, praise God. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here. And you haven't sold out like what I've been talking about. You're not really sold out to the Lord. But you want to be. Maybe you're not even a Christian. Maybe you never had Jesus come into your heart and forgive you of your sin, but you'd like to be. These altars are open. How about you step out and come around these altars and find a place to pray. And we'll pray with you. How about it? Whether you're saved or you're not saved, you need to come and sell out to the Lord. Why don't you step out? You're living a life right now and you know you're not sold out to the Lord. And you want to, as a young person, go into this youth retreat, a different person. Don't wait, young people. Don't wait until tomorrow night. Don't wait until the last night and then finally try to get help from God. I mean, tonight, let it start. Anybody. Want to step out? The Lord's dealing with your heart. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You need help. You need help from the Lord. You need Jesus. Come into this altar. Ask Him to come into your heart. Forgive you of your sins. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's people coming. Anybody else? You feel the Lord dealing with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, I want us all to come find a place to pray. Hallelujah.